Hello and welcome back to the podcast. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at a love story. A love story that is deeper than anything Hollywood can produce. And it has more twists and turns than them too. We're looking at the book of Hosea. So get ready to drop into the world of this 8th century BC prophet and see what the message is for the church today too.
Hosea chapter 8. Put the trumpet to your lips. An eagle is over the house of the Lord because the people have broken my covenant and rebelled against my law. Israel cries out to me, "Our God, we acknowledge you." But Israel have rejected what is good. An enemy will pursue him. They set up kings without my consent. They choose princes without my approval. With their silver and gold, they make idols for themselves to their own destruction. Throw out your calf idol, Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of purity? They are from Israel. This calf, a metal worker, has made it. It is not God. It will be broken in pieces, that calf of Samaria. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no head. It will produce no flower. Were it to yield grain, foreigners would swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now she is among the nations like something no one wants. For they have gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey wandering alone. Ephraim has sold herself to lovers. Although they could have sold themselves among the nations, I will now gather them together. They will begin to waste away under the oppression of the mighty king. Though Ephraim built many altars for sin offerings, these have become altars for sinning. I wrote for them the many things of my law, but they regarded them as something foreign. Though they offer sacrifices as gifts to me, and though they eat the meat, the Lord is not pleased with them. Now he will remember their wickedness and punish their sins. They will return to Egypt. Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces. Judah has fortified many towns, but I will send fire on their cities that will consume their fortresses. Put the trumpet to your lips. An eagle is over the house of the Lord. Warning, danger. The opening of this passage, it's not a party. It's not the call of joy. Instead, it's the call of a watchman sounding the alarm to the people of Israel. An eagle is over the house of the Lord. Most of you have seen where I work. Monday to Wednesday, in the back of my garden. From my window, I can see a bird regularly circling around. I'll have to check with Ian. I think this is a kite. At least that's what I can see from my office. It looks like a speck in the air, going round and round and round in circles before, with no warning, it makes its dive. Whatever creature is down below is instantly caught and swallowed up, devoured by the bird. Warning, the speck is in the sky. Get to safety quickly. That's the picture that God, through Hosea, is using here in this chapter. That's the tone that Hosea is taking with his people. As a watchman standing on the walls of the city, Hosea is sounding the alarm. Warning, danger, the eagle is circling. We've seen previously that Israel were being unsteady in their loyalty. They had no covenant love. But this passage really shows us God's covenant love, God's steady loyalty. So the question we're going to address this evening is, what does it mean for God to show steady loyalty to his people? What does it mean for God to show steady loyalty to his people? You see, once we really get that, we'll realize that the answer is that eagle. That eagle is over the house of the Lord because, God's verdict, verse 1, the people have broken my covenant and rebelled against my law. So let's have a look at this passage and see what it has to show us, what it means for God to show steady loyalty to his people. We'll see the reason why that eagle is in the air, and we'll see that with 2 points. Israel is covenant breaking. So the Lord's punishment is covenant keeping. Israel is covenant breaking. The Lord's punishment is covenant keeping. So how are Israel breaking that covenant? Well, Hosea, he sets up three demonstrations of that fact for us. The first you can see in verses 2-7. Israel are breaking their covenant in their actions. Have a look at verse 2. The people cry out, "Our God, we acknowledge you." That cry, it might sound right on paper, but in practice it means absolutely nothing. It's as empty as the wind. How do we know that? Well, by the way they behave. Just imagine for a moment, a man, married, says to his wife, "I love you." Now those words, they'd be totally hollow if he was driving each night to a different woman, wouldn't they? It would be effectively like taking his wedding ring and throwing it onto the ground before stamping it into the mud. You can say all the right things, but your actions betray you. And that's what Israel is doing here. Verse 4. They set up kings without my consent. They choose princes without my approval. In the biggest decisions in this nation's life, they're not seeking after God. The king is meant to lead the people in loyalty. He's being chosen in disloyalty. I mean, you'd think the people would have learned from their history. The best king they'd ever had was one that God had chosen for them. But no, they've forgotten their history. They've forgotten their God. And speaking of history repeating itself, have a look at the second half of verse 4 onwards. "With their silver and gold, they make idols for themselves to their own destruction. Throw out your calf idol, Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of purity? They're from Israel. This calf, a metal worker has made it. It is not God. It will be broken in pieces, that calf of Samaria." See, the people are saying, "Our God, we acknowledge you," on one hand, but then they show they don't really believe that as they create a calf. It's as if they've forgotten the mistake of Exodus. What a historic mistake for these guys to make. And you see the same mistakes, the same folly again and again. Israel are breaking their covenant with God. So God says that's going to be to their own destruction. The calf is going to be broken into pieces along with the people who make it. The people have done exactly what verse 7 says. They sow the wind and they'll reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no head, it will produce no flower. Were it to yield grain, foreigners would swallow it up. Their actions have consequences. They reap what they sow. Hosea's already mentioned a harvest coming back at the start of this section in chapter 6. They've sown the wind, so they'll reap the whirlwind. They've sown unrighteousness, so they're going to reap the consequences. Israel are covenant breaking. The second demonstration of that in verses 8 to 10. Israel is covenant breaking in their alliances. Just like the harvest in verse 7 is going to be devoured by others, Israel is swallowed up by other people. Instead of separating themselves from the nations, Israel have gone to them for help. And as verse 8 says, now she is among the nations, like something that no one wants. They were described as a silly bird last week, weren't they? Turning this way and that. And now their usefulness has worn out. The animal to be compared to this week, they're like a wild donkey, wandering alone. They're as popular as that said donkey. They have no one. So what's going to happen? Well, like that harvest earlier, God is going to gather up his people. He's going to bundle them up and he's going to ship them off into exile. Those nations that they once tried to pay off are going to be the people that God uses to take them away. It's ironic, isn't it? They're reaping what they sow. As they throw their lot to the other nations, they forget their maker. They reap the whirlwind. The people they once paid off have come to exile them. In the power of the maker, they've forgotten. Talking of irony, Hosea goes on to speak of the buildings the people have made. That's our third demonstration of Israel's unfaithfulness, covenant breaking. Israel are covenant breaking because they've forgotten their maker. Have a look at verse 11. "Though Ephraim," that's Israel, "built many altars for sin offerings, they have become altars for sinning." The people have built up multiple altars for sin sacrifices. These altars, they're meant to take their sin away. But the irony is, They're causing them to sin even more. They treat God's law like it's something foreign. The people, they have no idea what to do with it. They're so poorly taught that they just don't recognize who God is anymore. And they sacrifice hoping that it would take their sin away. But it does the complete opposite. Second half of verse 13 is the complete reverse of what they're hoping for. Now he will remember their wickedness and punish their sins. They will return to Egypt. You see, this passage, the irony is thick. The people, they're back to square one. They're going to return to where they came from. They're going to have a reverse exodus. It's like going back to Egypt. See, they've forgotten their maker, just like a TV remote as it falls down the side of the sofa. The people are just getting on without him. They build up their palaces, they fortify their cities, they increase in their comfort. They may even place their confidence in that comfort and that security. But it's all a house of cards. It's all about to fall. God says at the end of the passage that he will send fire on their cities and it will consume their fortresses. You see, this people, 800 BC, well, they've broken covenant. And as they've walked away from God, they've walked away from life. They're effectively a carcass on the ground, waiting to be devoured. The eagle is in the sky, Israel. You are covenant breaking. See, this passage is hard to hear, isn't it? But it should cause us to be reflecting on ourselves. See, we're not Israel of Hosea's day, but we can still be guilty of the same things, can't we? Do we forget our maker? Or flip side, do we depend on him for everything? One simple diagnostic question we can be asking ourselves this week is, what difference would it make to your life if God didn't exist? What difference would it make to your life if God didn't exist? We sang the song, Jesus is Lord, a moment ago, didn't we? See, it's absolutely nonsensical to be singing Jesus is Lord and not to live like it. In fact, that's something that Jesus berates the Pharisees for back in Matthew. You might know this passage. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Lord, Lord, our God, we acknowledge you. That's the cry of self-deceptive religion. Because it's totally possible to give God lip service, just like it was possible for Old Testament Israel to put their faith in the outward religion of their day. We've seen history repeats itself again and again and again. So let's heed the warning here. Let's not fall into the same trap. So what should God do about that? How can God show his steady loyalty to a people who are not showing that loyalty to him? You see, all of these ways that Israel have broken covenant, they're set in stark contrast to the maker they have forgotten. In fact, Hosea is doing a compare and contrast through this whole section. Because God has said this exact thing would happen to Israel. God had promised this exact thing would happen, and he's keeping those promises. That's our second point. Israel is covenant breaking, so the Lord's punishment is covenant keeping. How does that work? Well, Hosea 8 is a massive allusion. Let me show that to you. Deuteronomy 28. Let me read from it for you. If you want to follow along, you can. Page 206, starting at verse 49. Deuteronomy 28, starting at verse 49. Just see as I read this if you can spot the similarity, okay? This is God's promise to Israel. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the ends of the earth, like an eagle swooping down, a nation whose language you do not understand, a fierce-looking nation without respect for the old or pity for the young. They will devour the young of your livestock and the crops of your land until you are destroyed. They will leave you no corn, no wine or olive oil, nor any of your calves, of your herds or lambs or your flocks until you're ruined. They will lay siege to all the cities throughout your land until the high fortified walls in which you trust fall down. They will besiege all the cities throughout the land the Lord your God is giving you. And look at verse 68 there. The Lord will send you back in ships to Egypt on a journey I said you should never make again. There you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. You see, that's the promise that God had made to the Israelites if they broke his covenant, if they forgot their maker. You see, Israel may have forgotten God. They may have broken their side of the deal, but God had not forgotten, and God does not break his side of the agreement. God is steady in his loyalty, for good or for bad. That's the big difference between God and man. God is faithful to everything he says. So in this case, in Israel's case, the exile is going to come. So what does it mean for God to show steady loyalty to his people? Well, it looks like him keeping his promise, his covenant promise to them, the promise of exile. So as the people hear this word from Hosea, the right response is to understand, to discern, to realize that the ways of the Lord are right and to walk in them. See, as the people see this coming, they will know that God is right to be doing it. It's what they agreed to. God shows that he's steady in his loyalty to his people, even keeping his promise to punish. As the people read this after exile, they'd see all the reasons they were exiled in the first place. It's plainly obvious, isn't it? And that should mean that they can understand that God does keep his promises. And they should long for the promises of the new covenant, for the solution, for the saviour who is promised. How about 21st century Hemel, 1st of March 2020? As we read this today, have we really understood what God is like? You see, Hosea is showing us a picture of a God who so fiercely loves his people, so fiercely loves them with a love that is steady. And that steadiness means he keeps his promises to the end. We can see that in vivid multicolour, can't we, as we stand on this side of the cross. God has promised he's going to judge all of mankind, and he promises a way out. God is steady in his loyalty to his promises. So let us not forget that. Back to our opening question. What does it mean for God to show steady loyalty to his people? All the things that Israel's not been doing to God, what does it mean for God to do that? It means he keeps his promises. That's why that eagle is in the air, because his people have broken covenant. And so the punishment that these people are going to face is God keeping that covenant. God showing steady loyalty in return.
I hope you found that helpful and edifying. If you have any feedback or questions, feel free to reach out to me via email. The details are in the show notes. But until next time, let's keep praising God this week.